The raising of Lazarus was a stupendous miracle. It showed that Jesus had power over life and death. It proved his divinity. It pointed towards what he would do just days later in himself dying and rising from the grave to a different kind of resurrection. This miracle made many believe in him. Many of the Jewish people who had heard about this person, Jesus, in Galilee, doing amazing things, they had heard about him. Now they have heard the story from their friends, their neighbors, their fellow pilgrims. They've heard about, or they've actually seen, a dead man come back to life. And they say, this is the real deal. Nothing like this has ever happened. This is the final miracle before Jesus gives the final sacred sign of what he came to do, to offer his life in love to save us. A stupendous miracle. And yet, Lazarus would have to die again someday. Think about that. Lazarus isn't raised up in the resurrection that we hope for on the last day of history, which is the resurrection to undying and eternal happiness in heaven. Lazarus is kind of more resuscitated. He comes back to an ordinary kind of human life. He will have to die again. So will Mary and Martha. And think about all the miracles that Jesus did. Every eye he opened to see would become blind again in death. Every ear he opened to hear that was once deaf will be closed again in death. And the legs that were broken and disabled that could not walk, that he healed, would be put into a tomb one day in death. Waiting for the final resurrection. So what did Jesus' miracle do besides simply a temporary healing? If all those physical healings were going to be laid to rest again and come back in one sense, what did Jesus bring that was enduring? What was the part of the miracle that lasted? It has to do with what Jesus says to Martha. She has faith. She knows that her brother will rise someday in the future. God will do something in the future. And then Jesus says to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever is near me always has new life. Do you believe this? It's a question the Lord asks all of us today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that if you stay near me, the one sent from heaven, that you will always have a presence in your life that will never leave, that will never be washed away by death or loneliness or despair? See, Jesus talks so much about faith to Mary and Martha and the Jews there because in our faith, that's not just like, I have faith that God exists, I have faith that God's real, I believe the teachings of the church. That's important, but this faith is a faith that says, you, Jesus, are a presence in my life. You have come into my life, I've encountered you, I've experienced you as real, you're doing something in my life, and I'm going to trust and hang on to that presence. And if your presence is in my life, even if my eyes should close in blindness, even if my ears should become deaf, even if I should die and be buried in the grave, I am not alone. You are the presence of life and you are with me and you will raise me from the grave. Faith is the acknowledgement of a presence. Faith is the acknowledgement of a presence in one's life. Presence of Christ. Some of you may have seen this TV series that's being produced right now called The Chosen, about the life of Jesus. Who here has seen any part of The Chosen? Raise your hand high. It's an amazing show. It's produced by Christians. It's not being funded by Hollywood. It's like crowdsourced. And it's really the most powerful portrayal on film that I've ever seen of Jesus. It's incredible. He's not kind of like the stuffy, pious, stiff Jesus. Come, follow me, you sinners. You know, like, he's got a sense of humor. He's real. He's totally divine and sinless, but, like, he's just like anybody you would meet, like, in your daily life. He's a presence, and he's got a personality, and there's goodness in him. And one of the early episodes of that show about faith is about Mary Magdalene's story. And the creator of the show, Dallas Jenkins, he says that in the first few seasons of the show, this might be his favorite scene. You know, so he's the creator, the artist of this show. And, you know, like, you get inside the mind of the artist, and maybe, like, if you talk to a famous visual artist or maybe, like, a writer, they'd say, like, this is my favorite chapter of the novel I wrote. Like, okay, well, I should pay attention to that, right? So Dallas Jenkins says the favorite part of the show so far is when Mary Magdalene, who has been healed of all kinds of evil spirits, she was just tormented, her life was just a wreck, she was just almost like a brute animal, but she'd been set free from Jesus, even though she really didn't know much about him. And she's walking through the city square, and this Pharisee named Nicodemus sees her, and he knows her story. He knows that she's been afflicted by terrible spirits. He's actually tried to help her unsuccessfully. And he's like, he calls her, he's like, what happened to you? He's like, you're totally different. And she's just like radiant with like life and like peace, and she's just living her life now with her friends. And he's like, what happened to you? And she's like, all I can say is that I was one way in my life before. My life was just this one way in darkness before. And now my life is totally different. I'm living a totally new life. And all I know is that what happened was him in the middle. She's not even sure exactly what Jesus did. She actually doesn't even know his name, I believe, at that point. He just shows up kind of in this amazing encounter and just gives her healing and blesses her and frees her. And she's like, my life was one way. Now my life is another way. And all I know is that he was there in the middle. He was the bridge. That is acknowledging the presence of someone who changes our lives. That is, at the most basic level, faith. I encountered a person, and my life changed. And even though I can't explain it all, I know that I can count on this presence, whatever happens in the future. When Jesus rose Lazarus from the grave again and gave him back to his sister and his other sister, and of course Jesus was friends with him, right? They had dinner together after that. Like a few days later, Jesus comes back, they have dinner together, and people are like, there's the dude. They're like, that's the guy who brought that dude Lazarus from the grave. Oh my gosh. And of course, the Jewish leaders who do not like Jesus, they know this, they see this, and they're plotting and scheming, like, how do we kill them both? Seriously, read John chapter 12. They're like, we got to get rid of both of them. This is getting bad. People are following him. They're turning to him. They're not doing what we say. But for Mary and Martha and Lazarus and for their friends, they realize that their life is totally different because of the presence of this person. And even though they will grow old, and even though they will die, and even though they will get sick, because in this life we have to labor on and come through life carrying the cross, they can trust that Jesus is who he says he is. He is resurrection and life. Anyone who draws near to Jesus will only begin to live a whole new life. And sometimes in our lives we try and say to Jesus, Lord, it's too much. I'm too far gone. This is too hard. There's a stench, Lord. Don't go in there. Lazarus, Lord, my brother's been dead for 4 days. It's going to stink. This is going to be embarrassing. Why do you want to go over there? Sometimes in our lives, we feel like we're our own worst enemies. We feel like the stench is in us. Like, Lord, why do you want to come into my life? Like, Do you really want to try and do something in my life? Because, like, I'm too far gone. There's going to be a stench, Lord. Go help someone else, Jesus. My sins, my life, my past, it's too much. Go somewhere else. But Jesus will keep pursuing you until he lets us drop that opening stone to the tomb so we can come and say our names and say, come out. Come out of this place. You are not meant for death and for this stink. You're made to live. I made you for that. Come out from there. There's no place in our lives that is a tomb too stinky for Christ. He will come to us and seek after us every moment of our lives because he is resurrection and life. For our young men and women here who are about to be confirmed tomorrow night, this is also a great mystery for each of you. That in your lives, as Catholic Christians who follow Jesus, part of your task will be to share with other people the good news that there is no tomb, there is no place of darkness or sin or death or smell that Christ can't come into so that a person has a conversion. My life was one way, now it's totally different. And you'll manifest that good news by the way you live, by the words you say, by how you love one another. You will be like those people who pulled away the stone from the tomb. Jesus said, get the stone out of here. I'm going to get Lazarus. I'm going to bring him back. As newly confirmed Catholics, you're going to be the people who in other people's lives say, let me get this stone out of the way and just let Jesus come. He loves you. He's with you. Just let him come. I'm going to share with you from my life how my life was one way, and now I met the Lord, and now my life is different. Life is different walking with Christ, whatever that looks like for you. And the gift of the Holy Spirit in your lives will give you the power and the love and the assistance to help other people know that Christ is not against them, he's for them. Christ is not a burden on their lives, he's life itself. And if we allow the Lord to be near us and come into our lives, we will only discover resurrection and life and goodness right now in our lives like today, but also in eternal life. Our lives are meant for heaven. We are meant to live in eternal happiness and glory with God. And today the story of Lazarus, who Christ brought back from the dead, is meant to increase our faith. That just as Christ was a presence that mattered to Lazarus and Mary and Martha, he's a presence who matters to us, to you and to me and everyone in this church, everyone in this world. So friends, today as we profess our faith, as we see our confirmandi profess their faith once again in our community, let us ask for deeper faith so that when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Even if you die, if you believe in me, you shall live. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? Do you believe this, Renna? Do you believe this, Sophie? Do you believe this, Johnny? May we answer, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ who has come into the world to be with me.